black and white magpie skim across the forest roof. Granny turned and scrambled quickly up the dripping icy rocks and onto the fringes of the moorland beyond. Up here there was more sky. Silence clamped down. Far overhead, an eagle wheeled. It seemed to be the only other life. No one ever came up here. The firs and heather stretched away for a mile between the mountains, unbroken by any path. It was matted, thorny stuff that would tear unprotected flesh to ribbons. She sat down on a rock and stared at the unbroken expanse for a while. Then she reached into her sack and took out a thick pair of socks and set off, onwards and upwards. Nanny Og scratched her nose. She very seldom looked embarrassed, but there was just a hint of embarrassment about her now. It was even worse than Nanny Og upset.
"I ain't sure if this is the right time," she said.
"Look, Nanny," said Agnes,
"we need her. If there's something I ought to know, then tell me." "It's this business with, you know, three witches," she said. "The maiden, the mother, and..."
"The other one," said Agnes. "Oh, yes, I know that. But that's just a bit of superstition, isn't it? Witches don't have to come in threes."
"Oh, no, course not," said Nanny. "You can have any number up to about, oh, four or five."
"What happens if there's more, then? Something awful?"
"Bloody great row, usually," said Nanny. "Or nothing much. And then they all goes off and sulks. Witches don't like being compressed up much, but three sort of works well. I don't have to draw you a picture, do I?"
"And now Magrat's a mother," said Agnes.
"Ah, well, that's where it goes all a bit runny," said Nanny. "This maiden and mother thing is not as simple as you'd think, see? Now you," she prodded Agnes with her pipe, "are a maiden. You are, aren't you?"
"Nanny, that's not the sort of thing people discuss."
"Well, I knows you are, 'cause I'd soon hear if you wasn't," said Nanny, the kind of person who discussed that kind of thing all the time. "But that ain't really important, because it ain't down to technicalities, see? Now me, I don't reckon I was ever a maiden mentally." "Oh, you don't need to go all red like that. What about your Aunt May over in Creel Springs? Four kids, and she's still bashful around men. You got your blush from her. Tell her a saucy joke, and if you're quick, you can cook dinner for six on her head. When you've been around for a while, miss, you'll see that some people's body and head don't always work together."
"And what's Granny Weatherwax, then?" said Agnes, and added, a little nastily, because the reference to the blush had gone home, "mentally."
"Damned if I've ever worked that out," said Nanny, "but I reckon she sees there's a new three here. That bloody invitation must have been the last straw, so she's gone." She poked at her pipe. "Can't say I fancy being a crone. I ain't the right shape, and anyway, I don't know what sound they make."
Agnes had a sudden and very clear and horrible mental image of the broken cup.
"But Granny isn't a... wasn't a... I mean, she didn't look like a..." she began.
"There's no point in looking at a dog and saying it's not a dog, 'cause a dog don't look like that," said Nanny simply.
Agnes fell silent. Nanny was right, of course. Nanny was someone's mum. It was written all over her. If you cut her in half, the word ma would be all the way through. Some girls were just naturally mothers, and some, Perdita added, were cut out to be professional maidens. As for the third, Agnes went on, ignoring her own interruption, perhaps it wasn't so odd that people generally called Nanny out for the births and Granny out for the deaths.
"She thinks we don't need her any more?"
"I reckon so."
"What's she going to do then?"
"Dunno. But if you had three and now there's four, well, something's got to go, hasn't it?"
"What about the vampires? The two of us can't cope with them."
"She's been telling us there's three of us," said Nanny.
"What, Magrat? But she's the..."
Agnes stopped herself.
"She's no Nanny Og," she said.
"Well, I sure as hell ain't Esme Weatherwax if it comes to that," said Nanny. "The mental stuff is meat and drink to her. Getting inside other heads, putting her mind somewhere else, that's her forte, right enough. She'd wipe the smile off that count's face for him from the inside, if I know Esme."
They sat and stared glumly at the cold fireplace.
"Maybe we weren't always very nice to her," said Agnes.
She kept thinking of the broken cup. She was sure Granny Weatherwax hadn't done that accidentally. She may have thought she'd done it accidentally, but maybe everyone had a Perdita inside. She'd walked around this gloomy cottage, which was as much in tune with her thoughts by now as a dog is with its master,